All right, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to spend the majority of our time tonight in Psalm 119, although we will hop around on a couple others, but if you at least put your finger in Psalm 119, then you'll be doing all right as far as the verses we'll be talking about. Now, this morning, we spoke about the Word of God. We identified what it is, and that, of course, is God's spoken word, and by that I mean literally the word of God, but we also identified it as a title for Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. We also spoke afterwards about why it matters. For those that may have missed that service, a little quick summary. The reason it matters is because if the Bible, if the Scriptures do not contain the Word of Almighty God Himself, then they held no authority, no power, no promise, other than that what man can give. However, if they are indeed the Word of Almighty God, then they hold absolute authority, for there is none higher. They are the promises of God, who is inerrant, infallible, eternal, who is truthful and righteous and holy, and therefore we can trust upon His promises. And we know that we can go to the Word then to find truth, to find the answers and the guidance that we seek in life. Most of all, though, within the Word of God, we see God the Father revealing Himself through God the Son. That's what we talked about this morning. Now, I'd like to continue this, and I want to do so by revealing to you a couple of examples of how we apply the Word of God to our lives, and by that I mean, of course, the Scriptures. Now, as we do this, I'm going to go through and give you a plethora, if you will, of Scriptures, and that's something that I try to do every time that I have the opportunity, every time that I'm up here behind this pulpit, I try to give you Scripture, because that's where the power is, that's where the authority is. It's something that I wish that more preachers were doing. All over the world, I wish that they were relying more upon the Word of God than upon their own words and their own cleverness, I guess. You know, when you use your own words to reveal something to someone, that's teaching. But when it's God's words that you speak, that is what preaching is. There's a big difference in the two. Now, I want you to see something here. Paul the Apostle, and if you know about Paul, then you'll know that he wrote nearly half of the New Testament. He stressed the importance of preaching God's Word. He knew the power of the Word, and he knew the importance of the Word. And it's for that reason that he actually charges Timothy with the preaching of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, he says this. This is Paul speaking. He says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. And then what does he charge him with? He says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And that is exactly what we're going to do here tonight. We are going to preach the Word of God. Please join me as we pray. Father God, we come before You tonight. Lord, we thank You for the blessings that we have today. Lord, we thank You for, Father, the wonderful day that we had. We thank You for our health, for the many things, Lord, that we take for granted. Father, most of all, we thank You for salvation. We thank You for the blood of Christ, Your only begotten Son, whom You gave freely. Lord, that we may come to the cross, Lord, that we can place our trust into You, we can place our trust into the acceptance of the blood of Christ to pay for the sins of man. Lord, that You would see us as, Lord, righteous, not our own righteousness, but that of Christ's. Father, that You'd take us into Your own, that You'd call us the sons of God. Father, for that fact, we are humbled, Lord, eternally grateful, eternally thankful. Words fall short. Father, we come before You tonight, Lord, to ask that You'd be with us, that You'd have the Holy Spirit working and powerfully amongst us, Lord, as we have gathered, as we fellowship together to hear Your Word preached. Father, I pray that You'd be with me, that You'd use me, Lord, mightily. Father, for I am just a man with, Lord, no words of wisdom to give other than those that you've given to me. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to speak accurately, to speak clearly. Father, I pray that each of us would, Lord, have ears that are open, Father, to hear, to understand, Lord, to grasp the truth of your words recorded in Scripture. Father, I pray that our hearts would be open, Lord, that we would be inclined, that our hearts would be soft, Lord, to receive the word into our very being, and Father, that we would apply it to our lives. Lord, that we would be blessed and that you would be glorified. Father, we pray for the ministry of this church and for its congregation. Father, we pray for our community and for so many other churches in the area. Lord, I pray about the message from this morning, Lord. I pray that, Father, you would help us to see and to trust and to believe fully with all of our being, Lord, with every fiber, that the word within the Bible, recorded within the Scriptures, truly is your word, Lord. Help us to trust and to lean on you in troubled times, Father, to run to you. Father, we pray these things, that you'd be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says this, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now, as I said this morning at great length, we spoke about how the word of God is indeed the very words of God himself. That's not just a phrase or a quick title that we give to the Bible, but it is indeed God's very word. And that was the understanding of the early church, as we can plainly see here in the verse that was just read. There in Thessalonians, he's speaking to the believers there, and he is saying, of course, as the word clearly says, that he's thankful to God that whenever he gives them the word, that they see it not as his words and not as the words of any of the other apostles, but that they truly are the words of God and that they receive them as such. And that's what we are to do. But what I want you to take a look at tonight as we begin to start to break some things down and to look at some practical application for our lives is verse 13. There at the end of verse 13 specifically is what I want you to see here, where it says that, "which effectually worketh also in you that believe." I want to share with you how our lives and how our relationship with God is changed when God's word is applied. So the first thing that I want to talk about tonight is that Scripture directs our paths. Scripture directs our paths. The word of God, the Scriptures, of course, as I said earlier this morning, for those of you that were here, it's far more than just words on a page. They're not just written long ago by some man, and the secular world will tell you that the Bible is, as I said again, they'll tell you it's just another religious book that you shouldn't put your trust in, that it's simply filled with rules and restrictions, false hopes, and spectacular fairy tales. That's what the world says. It's no surprise that the Word of God is not powerfully working in them because they do not trust, they do not believe the Word of God. What I want to show you, though, is that they could not be farther from the truth. Has anyone here, and I know that I have you ever asked God for a sign? You ever been praying about something and said, "Lord, I don't really know what the right decision is. I need you to show me." Now, often when I pray things like that, I often throw in a little caveat, a little personal caveat of, "Lord, make it clear because I'm not bright," all right? Because I'm afraid that if it's something difficult, I'll miss it, all right? And God is good to me. The great thing about it is if you've ever prayed that, if you've ever thought to yourself, you know, "I wish the Lord would just show me what to do here. I wish he'd just answer this question for me, just make it clear." Well, the good news is that he has. The good news is that God has done just that, recorded within his word. And I will hope to show that to you here tonight, amongst a couple of other things. I want you to see something here. Psalm 19, verse 8, and we'll get to 119 after this. But Psalm 19, verse 8 says this, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Now, the reason that I give you that verse is with what we're speaking about here as far as God giving direction is that last part there where it says, enlightening the eyes. The Word of God, there's a special power about it. There's something about the Word of God where it is able to open our eyes and help us to see things which have been before us the entire time, yet we have failed to see. I can't remember who it is that said it, but someone once said that if the only thing you look at is what you see, then you will fail to see all there is to see. I don't know if you caught that, but you're saying if the only thing you focus on is what you can see, then you'll fail to see all that there is to see. The Word of God enlightens the eyes. It opens them, gives us the ability to see things through a perspective of God, to see things with His understanding, right? Because this is His Word. And when we do that, we're able to look at our situations, at our lives, with a different perspective, with a different understanding. And in doing so, He directs our paths with His truth, truth that you and I often can't see, especially when we're in hard times. And it's so difficult to focus on anything that isn't just before us. It's so difficult to look down the road in those times. Now, if you're at Psalm 119, you'll be glad you saved that spot because now we come to 119. We'll be here for a great portion of the service tonight. Verse 105, a very well-known verse, right? It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Again, the Word of God is directing our path. You say, how is that? I once gave an illustration speaking on this verse about how with God and man, we see things with basically darkened eyes. We can't really see very far ahead of us at all. And what we want God to do, and I tried to make an illustration in this, we had the room was dark, and I took a flashlight, and I shined it straight ahead of me, and you could pretty much see the light as it came off the flashlight because it was darker around it, so you could see that beam, which kind of illuminated the path, right? That's what we often want God to do. We want, whenever we ask for answers, we want God to make it clear. We want Him to show us all the steps. How's it going to work out? Where's this going to lead? Lord, show me the path. But that's not what God does so often. So often, instead, what He does is He takes that flashlight, so to speak, and instead of pointing it straight down the path and illuminating all of it before us, He knows all of that, but we don't. What He does instead is He takes it and He points it straight down one step in front. And He says, no, that's all you need to see right now. Trust in me, take that step, and then I'll show you the next, and then I'll show you the next. He who is faithful in the least of things is also faithful in the greatest things, right? So that's how God directs our paths. Truly, I take this verse 105 as literal. God truly does direct our paths. He does put light upon our path through His Word. I put a note here. God has already supplied the answers, the instructions, the guidance, and the wisdom that you and I require and that you and I desire within the Bible. If you want to know what to do during a difficult situation, I would ask you, what does God have to say about it? When we study the Word of God, we find that God is illuminating that path that I was speaking of, but He does so according to His will, which is where the difficulty comes in following that will and seeing it as the path God would have us to trod. It's understanding that He illuminates it according to His will, not our own. He removes questions. He removes all doubts. He makes plain the path. The only thing that He leaves for us to do is to have the faith to walk the path that He's giving to us without showing us the end. Now, that's something that's difficult to do if we don't fully trust in Him, if we don't fully trust that God knows where we're going, has a plan, and that His Word is true. Now, again, I want a caveat on this. Because God is leading and we are following does not mean that it will be the easiest path. It does not mean that the destination that we arrive at will be the destination that we are expecting to arrive at. And it does not mean that it will be the most prosperous by the world's standards, although it will be the most prosperous by the Lord's standards. Things to keep in mind whenever we are asking God to show us where to go and what to do next. Very important things to think of. And so with that, I tell you that Scripture absolutely directs our paths. Second thing that Scripture does, provides instruction in righteousness. As the people of God, there is an expectation on us to be a righteous people, honoring God. Be holy, for the Lord thy God is holy. We are identified as a royal priesthood, which means that there's a certain expectation about the way in which we live, the morals that bind us, the Word of God written upon our hearts. If you're in Psalm 119, a couple of things that you see here. Psalm 119, the reason I chose that psalm for this lesson is Psalm 119 is focused upon the Word of God. The entirety of the psalm is focused upon God's Word. And it shows us a multitude of things. Verse 9 of the psalm says, "Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Verse 133, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Lastly, verse 172, "My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." When we take the wrong path, when it seems as if everything that we do, every move that we make is the wrong move, is the wrong path that we've taken, when we find that we're far from where we ought to be, where God desires us to be, it is by the Word of God, and only by the Word of God, that we are brought back to the path of righteousness, that we're brought back to where God would have us to be. Without the Word of God, we're lost. We're wandering in the darkness. And we're doomed, really, to go farther and farther from God. I want you to see something. I'm hoping that by the end of our lesson tonight that you will look at the Word of God in a new light if you're not already looking at it in this way, that you'll understand that the Word of God is for practical application in life, that it can be trusted, that it should be followed, and that, yes, the Word of God can impact and change your life. It's not just going to make you feel good. It's the power of God. If only we trust and follow the Word of God. I want you to see something here. Speaking of how the Word of God provides instruction in righteousness, I would imagine that many of you here tonight have heard stories of how the Word of God, the Holy Spirit as well, coming into the life of someone changes them in a way which man is unable to do. My own story I've shared with you is one of these many examples. And I would imagine that many of you gathered here tonight have similar stories or know someone with a similar story who you could say, yes, I've seen the difference God made in that person's life, or I know the difference God made in my life. There's a power, there's a life about the Word of God. It changes lives in remarkable ways. And the reason that it does that, and this is important to understand about God's Word, the reason that it's able to do that is because the righteousness of God, His standard is written here within the Word of God. We can see His standard of righteousness, and as we read from God's words and we see that standard placed right before our face to where we can't deny it, what happens is we then, as we are instructed to do in God's Word, we examine ourselves. When we see where we are in comparison to God's Word, and we are convicted. We are convicted by the Holy Spirit when we see the standard of righteousness of God. We're unable to run from it. We're unable to deny it. It identifies all the inconsistencies of our lives. It shows our faults, our failings, our sins. Yes, even the secret sins that only you and God know about. We are convicted of when we read in His Word, for nothing is hidden from the Lord. Those eyes of Christ, I'm remembering and I'm thinking on our study in Revelation as we get to the final chapters there. I believe it's in chapter 20 of Revelation. It begins to give us a vision of Jesus Christ. And maybe it's 19, but and it talks about the fiery eyes of Christ, how they pierce the soul, how they pierce all the facade that we put on before man in the world. And he sees to the very depths of who and what we are. There's no hiding from Christ. And his word gives us an opportunity, praise God for this, to examine where we are. And that conviction is what causes us to acknowledge our position and pulls us back by the pleading of the Spirit, back to the arms of Christ, back to the arms of the Father. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow." Pause there for a moment. I want to give you a visual representation of what's that speaking of. You ever tried to cut something? Or like, for instance, here's a good one. You ever have those frozen hamburger patties, the store-bought ones, and they're stuck so hard together you can't get them apart to put them on the grill? So what do? I don't know what you probably do, but I often grab a butter knife or a steak knife, and I'll try to stick it in between them and push down until it pierces and splits them apart. That's what it's talking about. That's the illustration that it's giving there when it says that it pierces straight through. In other words, to the very bottom, all the way through, it pierces. Nothing is not pierced is what it's saying there. It pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and to the joints and the marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that, of course, is an echo of what I was just telling you, how the Word of God, it discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You see, it's not just about actions. Righteousness is far more than what we physically do. Now, it goes without saying, I hope, since we're here at Bluestone Baptist, that everyone has an understanding that righteousness is not something that we can contain, we can obtain. It's not something that we can grasp without Christ. Okay, Christ is the only righteousness that we have any hope of obtaining, and that's through grace by faith. Now, that being said, I want you to see this. God is concerned with not only what we do and say, but also with, as the Scripture points out here in Hebrews, the thoughts and intents of the heart. It says, "He who hateth his brother is what? A murderer. He who looketh upon a woman in lust has committed what? Adultery." In other words, this is the words of Christ saying this, right? He's actually taking the Mosaic law, which is don't do this, don't do that, and he actually takes the law of God and he says, no, let me put that on a higher plane for you. You see, it's not just what you physically do, it's the intent of your heart. It's your thought process even. What's within your heart? No matter what lies the world may tell us, no matter what justifications that we like to make, no matter what excuses we use, the Word of God is able to pierce through it all. Pierces straight through it. And it reveals true motivations of the heart. And what does Jeremiah tell us about the heart? That's wicked above all things, right? Desperately wicked. And it's deceitful. It's a liar. We can't trust our heart. If you want to know what righteousness is, if you want to be able to walk in righteousness, you must stay close always to the Word of God. Aside from it, you cannot have a relationship with God if we do not have the Scriptures, if we don't have the Word of God to reveal Christ to us. All right? It's absolutely imperative. So, Scriptures provides instruction in righteousness. Next, Scripture brings peace and joy. It brings peace and joy into our lives. I don't know if you guys know who Vernon McGee is. Vernon McGee was a radio host and also a preacher. He wrote one of my favorite commentaries, Through the Bible with Vernon McGee. And I want to share with you something that he says, because I think he says it very accurately. He says, and I quote, "God's mercy is channeled to us And the pipe that brings it to us is the Word of God. Now, what I find interesting about this is that although we're speaking of the Scriptures, the Word of God, as I revealed, I hope I revealed adequately this morning, is also a title for Jesus Christ. How accurately did Vernon McGee speak when he says that the Word of God is the means by which God's mercy comes to man? I see that both in the Scriptures and in Christ. The Scripture brings peace and joy. Psalm 119, verse 47 says, "And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." That's verse 165. Now, I want you to see something here. As we're faced with difficult situations, as we're faced with challenges in our lives, we're to open up the Scriptures to seek God's leading. Have you ever opened up the Bible to read, to seek wisdom, to get some time with God, but you really didn't know where exactly to return to? Ever felt like you needed some time with God and you said, you know, I'm not really sure where to turn to or where I should start reading, but you had the Word of God anyway? What's amazing is how God is able to lead us through His Word to exactly what it is that we need to hear in that moment. I want you to see something here. I want to dial in on verse 111 of chapter 119. Psalm 119, verse 111. It says, and I'm going to read this with you slowly here. It says, "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of the heart." A testimony, often we talk of a testimony in Christian circles, in the circles of our faith, we speak of it as someone's story of what God has done in their lives. And we also speak of the testimony of their life, right? What we can see the effects of God in their life. But here, the word testimony, as it's commonly used, it actually is a law term, and it means a written or spoken statement. Right? It's a statement is what a testimony is. Now, I want you to understand that, and you look at what is said here in verse 111. The psalmist is saying that they have taken God's word, God's statement, as an heritage. What is a heritage? It is that which is promised to you. It is that which you are going to receive, right? Your inheritance, your heritage. And what does he say? He says that's what he will receive and will keep forever. Now, in doing so, they find joy. Is that the way that you and I see the Word of God? Do we look at the Word of God as the psalmist is here, and when we read it, do we believe fully that these are the promises of God made to you and I, made to His children, made to His people? I hope that it is, because when you look at the Word of God that way, it will bring you joy, it will bring you peace, it will bring you comfort. Scripture gives us strength and lifts our burdens. Gives us strength and lifts our burdens. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." 119, verse 28 says, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word." According unto thy word. One of the things that I love about the Scriptures is that they are filled cover to cover with encouragement. Cover to cover with encouragement and with hope, from which we can draw strength in difficult times. There is a reason why anytime that someone is hurting, they turn to the Bible. We should turn to the Word of God to find that strength that we need. I put a note here that says that God is interested in our lives, both when everything is going well and whenever things aren't going well. And as such, because He is invested and involved in our lives, He invites us to turn to Him in difficult times, as well as in good, in pain, in distress, loneliness, grief, heartache, mourning. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." A quick comment on this point before we move on, and then we're going to draw to a close here in just a little bit. We often find it difficult, and anyone who's been in a difficult situation, you could probably relate to this or at least understand what I'm going to say. We often find it difficult to trust in the Word of God in those times. And the reason is because whatever it is that we're dealing with is so close to home at that moment. When we're in that storm, when we are the ones who is hurting, when we are the ones who are experiencing difficulty, grief, sadness. And we have difficulty finding, unfortunately, we have difficulty finding solace, peace, comfort from the Word. And the reason that we have difficulty is because of our hearts. It's because we are in those times, we find it difficult to focus on the promises of God, the goodness of God, and to place our trust into God. But if we are able to look into the Word of God, if we are able to find real answers to problems, then God opens our eyes to what really matters. And when we understand what really matters, which is the kingdom of God, God's glory, the work of redemption began from the foundations of the earth, then we're able to see things in a new light. Eyes are opened. We're able to see things differently. And that gives us a comfort and a peace because we know that the one who began all things will one day end all things and that his word is true. And we know how things are going to end. He never promised that things would be easy all the days of our lives. He only promises what the end of those things will be. Lastly, and most important thing about Scripture, Scripture reveals God's plan of salvation. Scripture reveals God's plan for salvation. Psalm 119, verse 41. This is the last verse for our message tonight. It says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." Now, perhaps the most wonderful thing about the Scriptures and the truth that's contained herein is that it delineates, it illuminates, it shows us the path and the promise of salvation which man so desperately needs. We so desperately need salvation. I mentioned this morning that at the moment that a person comes to Christ, that they become a Christian, we with glad hearts invite Jesus Christ to come and to live within our very souls, within our very beings. We submit to Him as Master and as Lord of our lives. We give everything over to Him. However, something else also takes place at this time. In the same way, God, through His Word contained within the Scriptures, invites sinful man to be redeemed and to dwell with God the Father. When Jesus comes into our life, it changes not only our lives here, but our lives in eternity. It changes everything. I want you to see this. It's through Scripture which Christ is revealed, and it is through Scripture which we are invited to accept Him as Lord and as Savior. Now, there's many different ways in which the Word of God reveals this to us. There's the identification of what sin is. There's the identification of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. There is the identification of the wages of sin, which is death. There's the identification of the only hope and stay that we have, which is the blood of Christ that washes us of that sin. All of these things are found within the Word of God. And that's why, although general revelation can be seen in the invisible things of the world right? We are able to acknowledge that there is a God, that there is something more than us. Without the Word of God, we can see that in the creation. However, specific revelation, revelation that leads to salvation, is found within God's Word. And that is why Christ gave the commission to the apostles, to his disciples at this time, to go and to preach the Word of God unto all. Why? Because it's through the Word of God, it's through the gospel of Christ that men come to salvation. Truly and fully, it is a work only of Christ, it is a work of God, but the way in which we are made aware, the way in which we are quickened by the Spirit, is through the speaking of the Word of God. Now this evening, if you've never experienced the power of the Word of God, and I want to go over real quickly just the topics here, the primary things that we brought about, is that if you've never experienced the power of Scripture to direct your path, to bring peace and to bring joy, to give strength and to lift burdens, to reveal the story and the path of salvation, to provide instruction in righteousness, if you've never experienced those things, then you're missing out on God's revelation of Himself to man through His Word. The relationship with God, it hinges on Christ. But it's only through Christ that man comes to the Father. And that relationship is dependent upon our understanding and our knowledge of the Word of God, drawing close to the Word of God, or drawing close to God through His Word. If you've never experienced this, if you've never experienced a relationship with Christ, being cleansed of unrighteousness, then here in a moment the congregation is going to sing, and this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to respond to the pleading of the Holy Spirit upon your soul, to come to Christ and to give your life over, to invite Him in, as I was saying a moment ago, to be the Lord of your soul, the Lord of your eternity, to trust in His promises, and to trust in His Word. God's Word, not man's. If you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, but you'd like to do so tonight, then in a moment, as the congregation sings, I invite you to come, and I'll show you from the Word of God how you can be saved.